Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Time Spent Poorly Show with your hosts, Eduardo and Brother Ron. Here's a quick clip from tonight's show to whet your appetite.
I never once was like, oh, girls aren't going to be attracted to me. It was like, God, if I could just get them to see me without my clothes on. Like, fuck. If I just realize I'm not raping you and look at me naked because you got it. That sounded really horrible.
Wow, this really sounds like it's going to be the best show, better than anyone we've done before or anything we can do afterward in the history of the program. You mark my words. We know there's all sorts of better ways you can be spending your time, so thanks for spending yours, albeit poorly, with us. If you want to learn more about who we are, go to timespentpoorly.com. Everything you need to know, whether it's accessing past episodes, future live broadcasts, or other shows on our network, it's all right there. There's also a link to our Patreon if you find yourself compelled to support one of your favorite shows, hosted by any of these nobodies from the Pacific Northwest. Well, gentlemen, I'm not here, but you are, so let's get it on! Without further delay, please welcome your hosts, Eduardo and Brother Ron.
Speaking to selling to age groups, we are the age group.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Quick 10-second snap judgment.
It was decent. It wasn't terrible. I was really tired when I was watching it, so there were parts where I was like fading a little bit in and out on it.
Yeah.
To be honest, but the parts where I woke up, I was like, I'm actually like, they built a story.
It felt
which
like
was more than I expected.
It felt very much like the first part of a movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say they're definitely trying to
You can really tell they're laying tracks for sequels and stuff. My only real complaint.
It's one of those ones. Okay, so we say laying tracks. It's one of those ones where they're either laying tracks or they've put a nail in the nail.
Well,
it could go either way.
There is no middle ground because it is a movie about the Mortal Kombat tournament that does not feature the Mortal Kombat tournament.
Right.
So, I mean, they're literally, it's all or nothing of like, no, we're going to further this series or it's fucking dead in the water.
Yeah.
And that was part of what I didn't like. I blame it more on the marketing.
Yeah, I think everybody, like the actors were pretty capable, all pretty capable for what it was worth. I could listen to
the guy that played Cole, who was the made up character.
Which one was that?
The main one.
Oh, okay.
Who had the like husk of armor.
Yeah, right, or yeah, whatever. Yeah.
The one who's not a Mortal Kombat character that was made up for the movie. I understand why he's there. He's the audience surrogate. He's the way to get you into this world of mystical kung fu, whatever.
Right. Well, and didn't they build him as like the bloodline for?
Yeah, he's the descendant of Scorpion. Boring.
To what effect, though? Like, I thought Scorpion's Scorpion's bloodline was frozen. See, so, like, does he have a brother, a cousin? Like,
I would have liked to just see Scorpion be someone who was seeking vengeance.
Yeah.
The way that I don't know. Aspect of the movie, I could have left very happily on the floor and just give me.
Yeah.
It's for all of the shit that the original Mortal Kombat movie gets and deservedly so, like, there's a lot wrong with that movie. Don't get me wrong. It's the CG is not great. The story and the acting is really
so
not great.
The scene where Scorpion grabs, what's his name?
Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero, and it's like, get over here. I could watch him say get over here 1,001 fucking times and not get tired of it.
Yeah.
They only did it one time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see it. Like that would be like one thing I'd get in on is like seeing that repeated. I would have almost liked to see it multiple times the same exact.
The fight with Kung Lao where he fights the Wing chick and he throws his razor blade hat through her body and it slices all the way down through her. Like that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Top tier. That's what I want from a Mortal Kombat movie.
Yeah.
That was badass. But
there was a lot of exposition that you didn't really, I wasn't really expecting. I was like, I spent a long time watching, and that's why I ended up falling asleep in a couple spots. Cause it was like, we're doing all this buildup for what?
It's pointless exposition. That's the thing is it's not, you have to have the story, you have to have the reason. And that's why I say like as much shit as I can give the original 95 version of Mortal Kombat.
Right.
It knows what to do. We are a movie about people fighting otherworldly beings for the safety of the future of the world. Whereas this movie felt like it was like, we need to introduce you to these people who are going to have to fight for the future of the world. If that made sense.
Yeah, no,
it felt really incomplete.
Because it's our generation that it's playing to. I'm not saying that Mortal Kombat doesn't exist in a video game vein for kids, because my kids are familiar with it, but at the same time, it's still not as familiar
as it
was for when we were growing up.
Yeah. No, it just felt really incomplete.
Yeah.
Some of the fights were fantastic. The acting was really take it or leave it. But when you're talking about that kind of a movie, I'm sorry. I'm not looking for fucking Schindler's List.
No.
Acting chops.
No, the guy that got his arms ripped off at the beginning when he like is like beating the, and he's like, they motherfucking work or whatever he says. Whatever he says, I'm like, I love that line.
Yeah, it was great. The stuff they did with Jax was great.
But, yeah, no, I mean,
I would have liked to have seen more of, like I said, the Mortal Kombat, the premise is the world's best fighters go to this tournament to fight against all of these world's best fighters. And the winner claims dominion over a world. I would have liked to have seen more of the fighting. This movie spent so much time getting us to the fight.
Right.
With the, you have to find your arcana and you have to unlock your arcana. And the thing with Sonya about not getting, like, that she was worthy of one, but she didn't get one until later in the movie. Like, it all was well done and it all made sense. I'm not nitpicking. I'm just saying that's something I would have rather seen done differently.
Right.
I think they could have gotten more out of it.
Do you almost think that? And I don't know if this is the answer either, but do you almost think it would have been better serviced in like a series format?
No, I don't think it's, I honestly, and actually I don't think that Mortal Kombat is something that lends itself to the idea of a series. I think it's something that works good for a movie. I think that somewhere in between the nuts and bolts of the story of the 95 movie and the nuts and bolts of the 2021 movie, you have a really good, just kung fu action theater. It's not anything more than a people beating up people movie. I think you have something there. but they like for comparison's sake. So in the 95 movie, your main character, who in all honesty is loosely your main character, Liu Kang is the main, but you get important introductory scenes with Sonya and with Johnny. Like,
right.
You follow them as closely as you follow him. Like, he's your quote-unquote main character, but he's not central.
Right, right.
He
right.
is, but he isn't. And then
the ancillary picks up enough of
and he's,
the slack.
He's going to the Mortal Kombat tournament because his cousin went there and his cousin got killed, and he's going for vengeance, but he's also going to prove that he's the best and blah, blah, blah. And then you go to the current, the 2021 version, and you have Liu Kang, and his story, minus the emphasis that they put on it of like, oh, I went to this temple to train and I saw so-and-so get killed. Like, that is the entire impetus of his character in the first one. Whereas in the new one, it's just part of
right.
him. It's not his main driving. He's not out for revenge. He's not, he's out to prove that he and the Earthrealm fighters are the best. And they lose something in the translation between the two.
Right. I'd see that.
Of because in the new one, Liu Kang, he tells him a couple mystical things. You have to transfer your chi. You find your arcana. I found my arcana when I was fighting blah, blah, blah. And that's it. He's not a real mentor. He's just kind of a loose guide. And they don't commit one way or the other to what they're trying to do with the story.
Right.
And I think that's where their big problem lies, is if they wanted to go there are enough movies that have come out recently that you can lean into that almost kind of schlockiness of like, no, this is the world.
I mean, right.
And get away with it. And they just went the safe mid-2000s route of trying to be what you would consider like studio friendly.
Right. Well, without, I think like,
without leaning too far into making stuff that might alienate people.
Right. Right. Yeah, no. Kind of within the same vein, the things that they're doing with the Godzilla franchise or the, because we had the Godzilla movie and then the Godzilla versus Kong, Kong Skull Island came before that. I think Kong Skull Island is a great standalone movie.
It's the best of the series.
Oh, hands down.
Not even close.
Yeah, there's so much going on with that movie.
Godzilla versus Kong is number two.
Yeah. Godzilla is a far third.
And King of the Monsters is the less said about that, the better. yeah.
I forgot
That's a good comparison, actually. That's a really, really astute comparison.
I think about those and like Skull Island is got so much going on and every bit of it's well executed. I'd almost like to have seen like Goodman's character.
I would have watched more
on his character.
Yeah.
Cause there was more there but what was enjoyable about his early and quick demise was that you could see there was more there and then it's like, oh, but there's not. And that's true to life.
Yeah.
And that's what's like, I think that's what makes it get like it gives you the feeling of having this incomplete finality to something where it's like, oh, like there was something more to this character, but there's
there's more that this guy did that I haven't seen that I would like to see, but
or would like to know about, but I can't. And you get a little bit of that in Recompense with John C. Reilly's character, because you get to he gets redeemed in the end because he gets reunited with his people.
I don't one of my feels more like fan service
than
actual cohesive storytelling, but it works.
And it worked for that movie. One of my favorite pieces of writing from that movie was the part where it's like, they sound like birds, but they're not. They're fucking ants. Those are giant ants. And I think that's the only, I think that's a PG-13 movie, and that's their one fuck that they used.
I think that is.
In the movie. Fuck.
Yeah.
And he's like, they sound like birds, but they're not. They're fucking ants.
I think that is the one fuck that they get away with in that movie.
But yeah, I'd say there's a bit of fan service there, but it worked for that particular movie. Because you wanted him to win. Or have some kind of win at the end of that.
He's the only character in those movies that you want to win.
Yeah. Other than Kong.
If you look at all of the human characters in all of those movies, most of them you don't give a hot shit about.
Hiddleston was okay in that.
Eh.
You know what I'm doing with Hiddleston right now is I'm making him some amalgamation of he and Adrian Brody's character King Kong that
him and
Jackson did.
Him and Brie Larson in that movie are I
forgot she was even in that movie.
At the risk.
That might have soiled my opinion of that movie.
I'm just going to say this. I'm just going to throw it out there for the people that are listening. At the risk of sounding gay, looking at Brie Larson and looking at Tom Hiddleston are the only real reason to have them in the movie. They are the most bland, non-essential, non-interesting stock cutout characters.
No, that's true. Another actor that I would have liked to see more out of was Shea Whigham.
He has a character.
Yeah.
He has a character in the movie. Sam Jackson's guy has a character in the movie. Even fucking Toby Kebbell.
Oh yeah, yeah. Your doppelganger.
Who barely is in the movie. He has a character, but yeah. Brie Larson and Tom Hiddleston, they are just there to look
They're hot. Filler. They're filler, yeah.
And they do a great job at it. Don't get me wrong. They're both really good-looking people. They wear tight tank tops really well. don't get me wrong. But that's what they're fucking there for.
That's true.
They're not... John Goodman ain't wearing no...
No. Thank you, John, for not...
You don't see Thomas Middleditch in King of the Monsters running around in a wet wife beater.
No.
But you know what you do see? You see Millie Bobby Brown and Vera Farmiga running around in shirts that are all stuck to their...
Both playing for different audiences, wildly different audiences for both of those characters.
It's something that I've wanted to ask Bruno about it, actually, but I don't see the point in asking him because I don't see any way that he could actually answer it in any kind of safe capacity whatsoever.
It seems impossible to quantify the answer.
But you when you look at stuff like that, it's as plain as the nose on my face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What if we
Kyle Chandler?
What if we had her tit?
If
what if we had her breasts falling out of her dress? Not all the way. No.
In King of the Monsters,
at
the end of the movie, when Kyle Chandler, dad from Friday Night Lights,
right,
meets up with Millie Bobby Brown, hot young starlet from Stranger Things.
It's hard to hear.
Pardon my language, but I'm just going to go there.
And Drake.
For one, never mind the fact that they fucking come across each other in the remnants of, like, Boston, which, okay, sure, that's going to happen. I was in Manhattan with my brother, and I spent 2 hours trying to fucking find him. And that wasn't in the middle of a national disaster.
I'm the guy. I'm the guy that drove around the Boise Capitol like 4 times because I couldn't figure out.
You're not just going to accidentally happen upon them. It doesn't fucking work like that. But so you have Kyle Chandler, who's the high school dad, trying to rescue his daughter, and you have Millie Bobby Brown, who's the allegedly of age attractive female interest in the movie.
What? No, she was not of age in that. She was playing 12.
No. I'm pretty sure she's...
No, she's playing a kid because she's still doing homework in high school.
You sure?
Yeah, but they want to sexify. They really want to make her. Yeah,
they do.
They're trying really hard to sell her as a sex symbol.
That's the point.
They have been since Stranger Things, even.
Yeah. Since the first season of Stranger Things, the moment that she showed up and had her shaved head and was badass, they were like, okay, how can we unshave her head and make her sexy? Like,
right. No, it's like they went back and they saw like what happened with Hermione and Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Like, cause she's just a cute little girl. She started as a cute little girl. And then all of a sudden she grew up on that movie, like on that series of movies. And then they had to figure out how to
see what's unfortunate. Reconcile is with she that. She grew up to be hot. And that's where the problem lies.
Right.
Because where do you draw the line of when she went from being this cute child actor to, oh, no, she grew up and got hot. Like, where?
Right.
Where do you draw the line?
Yeah, and I think you see that with a lot of, like, child actors.
Oh, yeah.
Or and stuff, even ones that we came up with.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the Olsen twins, people would be like, when are they going to be 18?
Ours was the generation. Olsen twins were the generation of the countdown.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, when are they going to be old enough to be 18 for me to legally want to fuck them? And it's like, okay, well, you're already talking about fucking them, so you're already on the downhill slope there, buddy. Like, the fact that you're waiting to fuck them says a lot about what you're thinking about. But it's true.
I think they're marketed that way. They market them that way.
Some of them more than others, but yes.
Well,
Millie Bobby Brown is not running through the Godzilla movie with her wife beater on, soaked to the brim. And no, she's not nipping out like Denise Richards in Wild Things, but...
But it's in a way that's innocent.
She doesn't look like Kirsten Dunst in Jumanji.
Right.
And there's your counterpoint, because Kirsten Dunst grew up not only to be a really attractive woman, but a genuinely chesty woman. Like, she wasn't taping her boobs down.
And also, like, she bought into...
Natalie Portman.
She bought into it, too.
Natalie Portman was a fucking child in... The professional.
Professional, yeah.
Yeah. Did she grow up to be hot? Yeah, sure she did. But was the entire plan of the construction of the vehicle to be like, she's hot?
Right.
No. And that's the problem. Is
right. Now we're trying to sell future sex symbols by making them...
Sex symbols before
they're even of age to be that. Yeah. So yeah,
it's the it's that Olsen twins thing of build them up to, well, she might not be 18 right now, but she will be, and like, yeah, they all will be at some point, dude. God damn, like,
right. And it's frightening as a father.
And I'm sure that plays into it too. But
Well, and me as a father whose daughter likes Millie Bobby Brown. She likes her as like an actress and stuff. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, Millie Bobby Brown's in this Enola Holmes movie. And she likes watching her for that reason. But I can guarantee goddamn that my daughter is going to emulate things.
See, and that's it. I'm happy that you went that route with it in terms of the emulating stuff, because that was the point that I was going to make, was when we were going through adolescence, early 90s, mid 90s.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the all-encompassing sphere of the internet around us. So we didn't have a lot of avenues available to us. And again, I'm a couple years younger than you, but we're kind of hilariously born on that same opposite ends of the same spectrum. You were born with my brothers, Rick and Chris, right at the dawn of the computer internet era. And I was born right at the dawn of the, it was just becoming commonplace era. So we have this kind of, when we were in grade school, some kids played every day in the computer lab and some kids played once a week in the computer lab kind of thing. But it was similar.
Right.
And we didn't have.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. You would have been playing Oregon Trail in like first grade. Probably kindergarten, first grade.
Second, first, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that we were playing at like sixth.
Yeah, exactly.
Sixth grade.
Yeah. We were, it was our introduction to the computer world and the internet world happened at the same time. We were just a little bit different ages for it, but it
so you it was you actually you absorbed it differently than we would have absorbed it.
I mean,
it.
You know, Rick and Chris, I they would be on their computers on not AOL, but you know, whatever, they'd be on online on their messenger programs, and I'd be on AOL and on mine. And I mean, it was there was a 4-year almost gap between us,
right?
But we were experiencing the same. It wasn't like when we were younger and they were playing Nintendo before I was old enough to even understand what Nintendo was. It was this media that we were experiencing together.
Right. And they were just experiencing a different maturity level.
Yeah. And it ended up where we, like I said, we're just on the end of this cusp where nothing was available and everything was available.
Yeah, no. Well, and I've talked about this before, because we grew up as kids where we could go and like, not to depart a little bit, but I was thinking about this with my kids the other day. Is my daughter asked me if I ever, like, did I fish a lot when I was a kid? And I was like, yeah, I did. And I rode my bike up a logging road.
Yeah.
Where big log fucking trucks come. Could you imagine sending your kid up a logging road on their bicycle and trusting that they're going to get up the road okay?
Yes, but I'm also keenly aware that that's... To counter your point, I used to live... Do you know where Swallow's Nest Park is?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so as you're driving under the overpass of the two roundabouts, you can go down to Swallow's Nest Park, or you can take that little soft turn that's up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I used to live up that soft turn of the hill.
Okay.
I would ride my bike from my house up that hill to Movie Gallery, which was right next door to Albertsons,
mm-hmm.
and back when I was in
fifth grade. You were doing the equivalent that that I was doing when I was growing up in Montana. In a truck stop town, basically.
Again, similar but different, yeah.
Right.
Would I let my son?
Nope. You wouldn't let your kid do that. See, that's...
Now let him start riding to Highland from my house, and that's like 3 blocks away.
About as far away as I let my 14-year-old go is like down by North 40 my house here. And that's even a little bit far.
Nope.
That's just as an aside. But yeah, we came up in that generation where, like you said, technology...
It feels like an antiquated thing to say, but it really was a different time.
It was. But our parents said the same thing of their time when we were at age where our kids were.
To be fair, it was.
It always will be. And it always will be.
Look at where our parents were.
In the 50s compared to where we were in the 80s.
Right.
Today's show is sponsored by Brush. Brush is an electric toothbrush that will change the way you think about brushing your teeth. With powerful sonic technology and ultra-gentle bristles, the Brush redefines what it means to have super clean teeth. It's like that feeling when you just leave the dentist. A fresh, whole mouth clean every single day. Our listeners get 15% off their total purchase with code POD15. Follow the link in our show notes at timespentpoorly.com and enter the code POD15 to get your exclusive discount and upgrade your oral care routine today. Speaking of, I watched this documentary. I'm back on trying to get on a health kick again right now.
Oh.
Because I'm trying
I'm
to.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. Because when I started back on doing this show again, I ended up gaining 50 pounds over the course of.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Damn.
I carry it well.
I was going to say
I gained a lot of weight by comparison to where I was when Derek and I started doing the show.
Yeah.
And I was pretty my diet was still, it's never been perfect, but it was cleaner. And one of the documentaries I watched the other day was called Fat, which basically kind of exposes the food pyramid as a sham.
Oh God. Yeah,
I don't
watch things like that. They shatter my world.
It's disheartening as shit because it is a sham.
Yeah,
it was built to sell what's plans. Easy to create and things
it was built to help America,
but really not to kill. It's built to kill America or make us
the economy. Excuse me.
Right. Yeah. It's built to help the economy.
Sell things that are important.
Right. Yeah.
But,
because if you're sick, that costs you money, but it makes money.
Yeah.
So basically, it's crazy. 'Cause the food pyramid's basically upside down.
That
was the essential premise of the whole deal.
Kind of what I gathered from what little bit I've read about it was it's basically backwards.
And so I've just been experimenting, and I've done this before. It's not none of it's new news to me because I've done enough dieting and exercise and stuff that I've been able to kind of wrap my mind around the whole.
Yeah.
I can't ever be a nutritionist where I explain the whole science of it, but I understand it enough that I can be I get it. So none of the information that was being fed to me was new information necessarily, but it's always refreshing to hear it. 'Cause you're oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, and so it helps to kind of dial you in.
Yeah.
And so what it did for me was, I was okay. So if I focus on fat, because your body inherently wants to get rid of the fat, it's going to burn the fat faster than it will the carbs, the carb energy is just turning all that into sugar, basically.
Okay.
This
is already more than I know about basic human anatomy, just so you're clear.
Yeah, it's Well, you should watch the documentary Fat. Watch
the way,
it.
The way that I live is I will basically, like, I'm just going to eat what I eat, and then one day I'll die.
Someday, well, someday, my friend, your metabolism is going to be like, hey, people, I'm done.
People have been telling me that for 36 years, Ward.
I know.
I'm sorry.
They told me that, though, and they were, listen, they told me that, and they were right.
I know that I've gained a little bit in the last year, but... Yeah,
at some point you're gonna be like, oh shit!
I've spent and that my was whole life with people telling me,
waiting.
You know,
for that.
One of these days you're gonna get fucking fat from eating all that shit. And I'm like, yeah, one of these days, but not today, bitch.
So what I've been doing, and
wearing your shirt at the beach? Because I'm not.
I've given up long ago on the notion of wearing my shirt to the, or being shirtless to the beach. But. With the exception of, like, tonight, say, for example, with all the carbs that I'm taking in here, I've been trying to be, like, focused on higher fat, low carbs, protein. And so I've ended up losing, like, probably 7 pounds in the past week and a half just by, one, doing some calorie management and also just, like, shifting that focus from carbs.
It's remarkable to fat. How much weight you can lose just by changing what you eat for 5 days.
Oh yeah.
I like it. Yeah.
Your body is different.
So my mom is one of those people who she never eats really horribly, but she always vacillates between dieting and not dieting. And so
your mom, like, sounds like
the first
me.
The first, like, 3 or 4 days that she diets, she's like, I lost 11 pounds.
She's hardcore, right?
And then she's like, well, I gained 3. Well, I haven't lost any. Well, I lost 1. Well, I gained 2. But she has that, like, super hard plummet right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, that's because...
You're starving yourself.
Because for lunch on Monday, you ate... chicken salad.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's that too.
And for lunch on Wednesday, you ate lettuce salad with cottage cheese and pineapple. Like
But is it sustainable? Because, like, what I've been trying to do is, like, I'll do some slices of cheese. I'll do some nuts, like some mixed nuts. I'll have the salt. I'll take the sodium. I'll take that hit.
God.
Then I'll have
I'll
throw in some sliced pepperoni.
This conversation right here, I'm not going to lie, is like this really horrible futuristic portent of what my life is becoming. I've been having this impending sense of doom lately that soon my doctor is going to tell me, "You know, Ron, you've reached the age where you can't just eat whatever the fuck you want to." And I tell you what, man, the day that I have to pay attention to what I eat. Ugh.
Yeah, no, I see you and Huds walk in here on a night with taco, like all the time with taco time.
It's
going
to go so,
how?
It's going to go so bad. They're going to say, well, Ron, what you need to do is not eat these things. And what I'm going to say is, well, I'm just going to die then.
I guess I'm going to keep eating these things. Yeah, about the time I was 25.
Your blood pressure's a little bit high. Yeah, that's what you said last time.
Put me on a statin. Put me on a statin. It's not too early for a statin. I'm 36.
Oh, damn it.
No, when I was like 25, my father-in-law watched me order a large Quiznos sub, like the Angus.
Yeah.
It also happened to be called the Angus that I ordered. So, one, the name in and of itself is
threatening.
Threatening. That's a good word for it. So I'm like, give me the Angus. And so I order the Angus, and I don't order. There's 3 sizes. You can order the small, which is like that 4-inch. Then you can order the medium, which is the 8-inch, which The 8-inch seems like a reasonable the 8-inch seems like the reasonable choice, but for only $1.69 more, you can get the large.
Yep.
So why am I not ordering the large?
I might have leftovers. I looked at things, I might be full.
Well, I never had leftovers. That's my biggest, that's always been my biggest problem is, and I think it's probably because I grew up in, I wouldn't say we grew up poor, but I grew up with the definite impression that like leftovers, not a great idea.
Mm. See, I was you shouldn't leave a lot. Leftovers meant dinner for tomorrow.
No. Well, so yeah, leftovers fine. But you're eating them was the expectation.
Well, yeah.
And so,
It's
my kids live in a whole different world because right now, in the world that they live in now, it's leftovers. Oh, dad gets to either eat these or throw them away in 4 days.
This is who they're taking for lunch tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, because they won't pick, like my wife even is that way. She won't pick up a leftover.
Hmm.
Which
depends on the leftovers.
I mean, some I suppose
more
it depends
about than others, but
I mean, I'm not going to heat up fries.
No, but, fuck that.
Anyway, so I remember ordering this. This is still, and her father's my wife's father's been dead for 14 years now. But when I was like 25, he was like still around, and he was like watching me order this, and he wasn't like a small guy either. And passed away of a heart attack, but he was like, wow, Ward, you gonna be a lineman? And I'm like, and at the time I'm like, I'm thinking like, fuck you,
man.
And,
fuck you, old man.
Yeah. But I look back on me now. I'm like, boy, I was 26.
Yep.
I was well past my prime for being a football lineman.
Yep. Nope, he was just pointing it out and you didn't notice.
Yeah. So.
No, I.
And he was certainly already well aware of the health the health conditions that could prevail from poor nutrition.
Yep. You sure about that?
I'm going to die in 3 years from a heart attack, so I don't know if that's a good idea for you. but anyway, well, I think that's a good place to close. As good a place as any.
Yeah, morbid obesity. It's a good end for anything. I'm still lucky I haven't gotten there yet. I keep waiting for it to happen. No, seriously, my stepbrother Ryan and I, you know, as brothers always do, we wrestled. And
I bet spaghetti was a big part of your nutritional.
For one, he was 4 years older than me. So coincidentally enough, you may or may not know this, but I have three brothers, none of who are actual brothers to me. Rick and Chris have the same dad.
Right.
And then my stepbrother, Ryan.
Well, they're actual brothers.
They're actual brothers. Don't get me wrong. But they all are born within the same, like, 2.5 week gap of each other. Chris's birthday is, I guess it's a month. Chris's birthday is December 9th. Ryan's birthday is November 20th. I guess it's about 2 months. So Ryan's is November 23rd. Chris's is December 9th. Rick's is January 13th. So I have these 4-year-old brothers that are all right about that same age older than me. And so consequently, I wrestled with all of them. And you've seen Rick and Chris. They're built like me. Ryan is not. Ryan is a great big fucking... Ryan's a big fucking dude. And if you want to move Ryan... good luck. And like he's better now and has gotten control of his weight and whatnot. And he's built more like a normal statured human being, But when we were younger, he was not. And he was the kid who...
I knew a kid like that.
He played defensive line in high school. He always played catcher. He was that kid. He was just fucking big. And he used to... Dude, it was...
So he was like Eldon Henson in the Mighty Ducks, and now he's like Eldon Henson in Normal.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, kinda.
Just for comparison's sake.
For a loose comparison, yeah.
Right.
And he used to, like, he was really mad. So you have to imagine it wasn't just him talking shit about me. It was like this internalized shit talking to where, like, he was mad about the fact that he was overweight. And he was mad about the fact that I didn't gain weight no matter what I did. So I would sit there just eating these bags of potato chips in front of him. And he would be there. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to go there because it's funnier if I say it this way. And if people's feelings get hurt, people's feelings get hurt. But this fat kid is sitting there watching me just shove chips down my throat. This fat kid who hates his fat body.
And as you're ingesting them,
I'm just digging into these chips. And I'm like, yeah, I'm skinnier than you're ever going to be. And while I'm eating these things, he's literally telling me, you know, Ron, this happened. He was staring at me while I was eating. He's like, one of these days, your body's going to stop doing that. And you're going to get so fucking fat. Like, he was really passionately trying to make me feel. And the whole time, I just sat there eating food, staring at him. And I was like...
But no, it ate away at you a little bit because... No. It's hung on to, like, it's kept in your head.
No, it's hung on because of how funny it is that it never happened.
But it will, maybe. I don't know. So some people
want to be the new Ryan. You want to sit here and tell me
no,
I'll hand you my bag of flaming hot Cheetos.
No,
and you can.
Oh, so I can't sleep tonight. Yeah,
you can chow down on them and tell. No, the reason that it has stuck with me for so long is I've had people my whole life.
No, I know you're the guy that people. No, you're the guy that people console their fat kids with. That guy over there, his metabolism is going to slow down one of these days. And one of these days, she's going to be bigger than you because you've got discipline, honey. You're good. Like, I mean,
the whole time, people like me, the whole time, I shit you not, we are just going, yeah, I am. Tell me how fat I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Do you want some? Oh, you can't?
A moment on the lips is a life on the hips.
He was sitting on me.
Telling you that?
Like.
Oh,
if you ever had a fat sibling,
he's gonna give you your lesson while he's
a fat friend
putting all his weight on you,
where you can't move, where they hold you. I don't know if you ever had one of these because you're bigger than I am and you're built bigger than I am. But when you're the skinny kid, every once in a while, you have the fat bully or the fat person. Impart their wisdom on you and you can't do anything about it because you're just stuck because of the fact.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to get you. It's going to fucking get you. And usually it's going to get you is them because they're a bully. They're
right,
a big
kid. What goes around comes around, bully.
You think one of these times I'm not going to get you, but I'm going to fucking get you. But for me, the bully was my fat brother, and the thing that I was being bullied with was getting fat, which couldn't happen. And so I just had this fat kid sitting on me, threatening me with nothing.
15, 20, 30,
it's gonna fucking
35 years from now.
You have any idea how funny it is to you when you're the one who's supposed to be the victim?
Yeah. I mean,
and you're like, dude,
at this point,
great,
you're getting the last laugh because it hasn't caught up to you. And there's still that question.
I've got a little
where
bit. Don't
where,
get me wrong.
Where will it? But to what extent though will it catch up?
No, and that's the thing is like it. Again,
because I at have, a certain point, your diet will all like what you eat will also respectively adjust. Yeah, you're going to adjust what you like. You're going
you'll get less hungry.
You're going to be like, maybe I don't need to eat this whole bag of Flaming Hot Cheetos.
No, and it already has. I mean, I'm 36 now. It's finally caught up with me a little bit in terms of like there used to be this like definitive V line from where my
right.
my ab fat went to my hips.
Yeah.
Because I still had that.
Yeah.
Which it was like, oh man, if I did like
50, if I did some sit-ups,
if I did 50 sit-ups a day, I'd actually have like abs. Like, damn, but fuck that. I'm too fucking lazy for that shit. That's not happening. But now it started to be more of a like, oh,
You're a little doughy.
It's starting to get. But again, when you're in seventh grade, and they're picking on you, telling you that you're gonna get fat, and you're like, I can't when I try,
and you're not even close.
Yeah. I eat more than you do, fatso.
Right. Like, no, yeah, I mean the people with the high metabolisms are in like you guys are an enviable folk. You and Huds will show up, and you guys both have, I'm guessing, pretty good metabolisms.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll show up, and I'll be like, and I don't make like a like judgmental observation, but I'm like, oh, well, they eat a lot of, they come regularly with taco time or some other kind of food in tow. And it's not that I don't have my fair share of fast food, but at the same time, I'm like, they seem comparable to me, and I feel like the consequence I had to pay for my fast food diet was the shape that I'm in right now. But it's just it's biology, and it's like your own personal chemistry.
I'll
to some degree.
I guess I should say that I'm not ashamed to admit it because of how svelte and sexy my fat 36-year-old body is. Do you want to know what I did last night while Tori and I were continuing our watch through of Breaking Bad? I ate with queso, like cheese dipping sauce, an entire bag of baked blue corn tortilla chips. A whole bag. Whole bag. I bought it at the store on my way to her house, and it doesn't exist anymore because it's in the garbage. And yeah, she helped. But does that really matter when the whole bag is gone?
Which is like probably 1,200 calories.
Oh,
in a whole bag.
Yeah.
Which was funny because by contrast, I feel guilty for eating a entire bag of pork rinds, which when you stretch out there's zero carbs.
Mm-hmm. They're good.
And
for
it's
you.
Probably they're, 600 calories, maybe 600 calories total.
They're a good for you snack.
Right. And it was, and I treated that whole bag that I ate as a meal. Like I didn't like chase. I'm like, this is at a certain point as I'm eating that, I'm like, this is my dinner.
I ate mine after dinner. And I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Yeah, no, you had steak. And
but again, I maybe someday I'll reach a point.
Dude, okay, so how did you work out?
No.
So you don't work out, and I can see from here you've got like tricep dimples without even trying. And I had like when I was like in my best shape, I had to work out for like fucking 8 months to get the fucking tricep dimples.
It's the blessed.
That's what it is.
I feel genuinely bad for people because I've been around people all my life who, again, my brother was one who struggled with, not just struggled with his weight, but struggled with emotional issues that came from his
from weight. That, yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing that I really do sympathize with. Because I've never, it's what I imagine pretty girls feel like when they're like, well, I've just never really had to work for anything in my life because guys have always thought that I was pretty and so they wanted to fuck me and they gave me this. Like, I feel that, but in the regards of the weight thing, like,
right, right.
I have, in my opinion, I have a lot of reasons if you were to spin it towards like dating. Ryan was always really self-conscious. Girls aren't going to want to date a fat guy. I was always, I've got acne. I'm not that funny. I'm not that handsome. I had all of these different things.
Yeah, I think what it is, you find your what you're insecure about.
You find your own insecurities. I never.
And what he was insecure about was the weight thing.
I never once was like, oh, girls aren't going to be attracted to me. It was like, God, if I could just get them to see me without my clothes on. Like, fuck. If I just realize I'm not raping you and look at me naked because you got it. like, it, you know, that sounded really horrible. I never doubted myself physically in terms of being able to.
But
I never thought that, right. I never thought that girls were going to look at me and think, ugh. I always thought that girls were going to talk to me and think, ugh.
Right. And because so you're looking at you're examining a different insecurity that you have.
You just transfer
that maybe somebody else isn't
from
observing from there. Yeah.
Something else. And it, you know, it, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think there is a ton of irony in the fact that a lot of the happiest people that you find are fat people.
Are they, though?
Mm-hmm.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. Genuinely happy. Content, I guess.
Yeah, I could see that. I think it's probably nature and nurture has to play into that to some degree.
Yeah, no, there is a wealth of reasons that play in.
There's a ton of psychology that you couldn't that'd take months, years to unpack.
And every situation is its own case by case thing.
Right. But well, you wouldn't want to do that because like for me, like I look at like my upbringing, like then who do I blame? My parents? Because I don't hold any ill will or harbor any will against toward my parents over anything. Like,
dude, I go back
with the diet stuff. Like I look at that and I'm like, you know, they did the best they could, especially with what they knew at the time. Like we were, when we were coming up as kids, like the food period was relatively, or the food pyramid and nutrition facts were relatively new.
Yeah.
Like, they were feeding that information to us pretty fresh without any kind of like research. Long and it was term. Just it was basically like, this is what the government says,
this is what we think you should be doing, so you should probably be doing this. Yeah.
And and don't do drugs.
That was a huge part of it. How do I want to say this? The weight thing is I don't think you see as many people calling attention to it now as you did, say, maybe 5-10 years ago. It's it's transitioned. 5-10 years ago, it was a really...
Do you think it was even that soon?
They would pick and choose who...
Because Meghan Trainor was even...
No, but
all see, about that base.
But see, that's what I'm saying is they would pick and choose of the like, oh, well, she's big and beautiful.
Right.
These other fat bitches, meh, but she's big and
right.
beautiful.
You know, yeah, whereas there was a now, there was a media trend where it was like, oh, Kathleen Turner let herself go.
It's transitioned more
or
now
Kirstie Alley
into it's more all-encompassing. It to where they really do, in a lot of ways, at least publicly, really thump the drum for, you know, any body size is beautiful, whatever
right.
is beautiful.
Well, no, you're right, because we in the 90s, like we wrote off the Kirstie Alleys or the Kathleen Turners for gaining weight, but now we're celebrating the Adele's and of course Adele triumphed Adele because she lost weight, but we're cheerleading like the Megan McCarthy's or the
Adele was fucking money before she lost weight. She's pretty in she's general.
Pretty
I'm
face.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Like, she's beautiful. Oh yeah. But what's weird to me about it is that it used to be where you'd have the beauties and then you'd have the, you know, People magazine or Star magazine, whatever. When you were in line at Albertsons, you'd see like the 30 worst bikini bodies and like, oh my God, I can't believe so-and-so let themselves go to this. And oh
yeah,
my God, I can't
believe
was just so-and-so let themselves
that was
go to this.
That was a remnant from the past.
And now I'm not picking on people. And I'm not talking shit about people.
We got to put a pause on this for a second.
You'll see women now who don't look any different in their photos than the ones that were being shamed back then of like, oh, what look right. happened to their body.
Exactly.
And now there's no progress pic. There's no, oh, this is what they used to be. This is what they became. It's the exact same kind of investigative journalism into the picture, and it's, oh, look at how brave she is for being out in this.
Right.
And it's a weird dichotomy of like a back and forth between what's acceptable and what's not.
Just to tag on to that really quick. Well, you think about like the pressure that women were probably put on during like the 50s and 60s, like all the weight loss, all the exercise routines, like they had that weird thing they wore around their fucking hips that like vibrated them,
yeah,
and shit like that. That's why I said like the tabloid coverage of women that were like that let themselves go, I feel like is a remnant from that time period that just kind of took its time to kind of get shook off the
look at look at the, and damn, I hate to drag it out even longer. I'm sorry, because I need to get home. But look at, for recent example, look at the Janet Jackson Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you remove the planned shown titty and everything, and it's been... They've interviewed people. They've done enough research on it. It's been shown that it was always planned to be that. That was what was supposed to happen.
Right.
Look at all of that, and look at how people reacted to it minus the naked titty, and then go watch Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion performing WAP during the Grammy show. Because
and we're not even that far removed from that. That's
they and that's the thing is we're not even 20 years removed from that. And these two chicks. So you have literally millions of people mailing CBS or Fox or whoever it was that hosted the Super Bowl that year. I don't know about canceling their service. And this is the most deplorable, disgusting thing. And I can't believe I've seen this and blah, 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 blah. To less than 20 years later and you have these two ladies singing a song together, simulating and like miming scissoring with each other while they're singing.
Well, this is a perfect tease for the generation discussion that yes, we can have coming up in the future, because it's in 10 to 15 years, a lot of these people that did those calls and those protests have shuffled off.
What is or deemed have, acceptable right. is wildly changing.
Dramatically, and it's exponential.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's...
I mean, you had when we were in... We would have been... I think I was still in junior high, but you and Huds, you guys would have been in high school when there was the MTV Video Music Awards, and Madonna, Britney Spears, and Christina Aguilera came out together, and they all three performed together, and they did like a musical rendition of all their songs, and they were all wearing white, and they did like a virgin, and at the very end of it, they all three took turns kissing each other.
Right.
And at the time, that was like
huge.
Holy shit.
Right.
It was the only thing you could hear about. I can't believe they were willing to show this on TV. And now
some of it hype for ratings and for attention, but
I mean, absolutely.
I mean, it was the clickbait of the time because there wasn't quite the same.
Yeah. Clickbait didn't exist the way that it does now. But still, going from that to where we are now is not even, it's funny that people make a comparison because there is not a comparison.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I'm interested. I'll be interested to see where it is.
Maybe I need to build my soapbox really, really strong to stand on for this next episode, but I am amazed. I owe you a case of beer for this? What?
You owe me a case of beer for this.
I'm confused. It.
Did you guarantee her a certain finish time?
No, I'm. No, that's what I'm confused about. Because I haven't murdered the tiny people. Oh well, you should have. Sorry. Do us both a favor. It's really amazing to me what, and it's one of the things that I want to tie into the conversation, is looking at PG versus PG-13 versus rated R movies during that early mid-80s time period where PG-13 didn't exist.
Oh, yeah.
And what correlated to
what brought that on,
and what correlated to PG, because it's interesting. 4 hours. I don't.
No, yeah, three and a half. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about to leave. There.
Well, anyway. Let's wrap it.
Yeah.
I'm
getting ordered to wrap it.
I think these are all great points to carry over to the next discussion about generations, especially because of
there's a lot of interesting things to be said.
The transitions from all of them are really fascinating.
Going from the hyper theatrical violence of the 80s to the toned down violence but gritty realism of the 90s to the kind of mixing of the two for the 2000s and going forward to where we are.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure where we are right now. It's kind of a curious
place. I don't think
anybody
knows where we are right now. Things are too open in terms of what gets canceled and what doesn't.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that has been a show for us tonight. Thank you, Ron, for joining me. What a journey tonight.
Good night,
has been.
Internet world.
This has been fun. I'm going to let let the old beard close us out at this point. But thanks again for joining us, and we'll catch you next time on another fine episode of the Time Spent Poorly show. Later.
Bye-bye.
All right, peeps, didn't I tell you this was the best one? They fucking nailed it as usual. In case you weren't listening at the beginning, make sure you head over to timespentpoorly.com and click things. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. While you're at it, subscribe on YouTube and get notified the next time we're live. Maybe you appreciate what we give you and you want to support us? Great! Head over to patreon.com/timespentpoorly and check out how you can do just that. Thanks again for wasting your time with us this week. Now go make better use of it! Until next time.